We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer, affording you the opportunity for rebound if necessary. And in doing so, we will also have a closing prayer for me, for not only our Bible studies this morning, but also for the congregational meeting that is to follow. Shall we pray? And now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had today to go within your word and extract from it concepts and ideas that are important to us if we are to become front rankers as good soldiers for Christ. And now, Father, as we move into our annual congregational meeting, it is our prayer that you would provide for us the mental attitude that is necessary to concentrate upon the presentations that are to follow. We understand that in each of these areas, your matchless grace has sustained and prospered each and every one, and for which we are grateful. We thank you for this time to do the business of this church. We thank you for providing us with the leadership it has, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I'll turn it over to Welland Schott, Chairman of the Board.
The annual congregational meeting for Grace Doctrine Church was held during the second session on Sunday, 26 February 2012. The chairman of the Board of Deacons, Dr. Welland Schott, was introduced by Pastor Griffin. The meeting was called to order, and Chairman Schott had Pastor Griffin open the meeting in prayer. The secretary affirmed we had a quorum. The secretary read the minutes from 6 February 2011, and the chairman entertained a motion to approve the minutes as read. The motion was made by Tim Hunt and seconded by Mr. Tom Wojciechowski. The motion was voted on by the congregation and passed unanimously. The chairman presented the agenda for the meeting, the approval of the minutes from the previous year's annual meeting, ratification of Pastor Griffin's nominations for the 2012 Board of Deacons, the 2011 annual financial report, missionary update, Joe Griffin Media Ministries update, and a prep school update. The chairman proceeded with the ratification of nominations for the 2012 Board of Deacons. The ballots were distributed to the congregation. The votes were cast, ballots collected and counted, led by Mr. Jim Hunt. The chairman was informed that all nominations had been successfully ratified by the congregation. The chairman then introduced Mr. Lou Basso for the presentation of the 2011 annual financial report. Mr. Basso reported on the finances for Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. After Mr. Basso's report, there were several questions which were Mr. Basso responded to prior to the completion of his report. The chairman thanked Mr. Basso for his report. The chairman then introduced Gary Watson for a missionary update. That report was given. The chairman thanked Mr. Watson for his report. The chairman then introduced Pastor Griffin, who filled in for Paul Davey for a Joe Griffin Media Ministry update, and the chairman thanked Pastor Griffin for his report. Then Mr. Mark Vesser was introduced for a prep school update. When completed, the chairman thanked Mr. Vesser for his report. Chairman Schott then asked if there were any other new business or questions. Since there were none, he asked Pastor Griffin if he had any additional comments. Pastor Griffin stated he did not. The chairman then entertained a motion to adjourn. That motion was made by Mr. Les Johnson, seconded by Mr. Vic Bodier. The motion was voted on and passed unanimously, and Pastor Griffin closed the meeting in prayer.
doing. I pushed all the buttons that a monkey would have pushed by this time.
Okay. Can you hear me? Am I okay now, Dennis? No? Okay. All right. Thanks, Gary, for reading the minutes. Do we need approval for the minutes?
Yes,
we need the approval. Someone entertain a motion for the approval of the 2012 minutes. I'll entertain such motion. Okay, we have a motion made. A second. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying no. Rick made the motion, and maybe I'll turn around. And then Vic made the second. Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask Mark Vesser, our treasurer, to come up and give a presentation of the financial situation of Grace Doctrine Church. Where is? Oh, there you are. Borrow my thing.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
All right. Okay.
Yep. So, The grace of God in support of the accurate dissemination of His Word is reflected in the unsolicited grace giving to Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. These summary financial statements that we will now view reflect that. So, financial statement for the year 2012 for Grace Doctrine Church. Beginning balance was just over $104,000. We had payments and checks cleared of almost $239,000. We received deposits and credits of over $278,000, leaving us with an ending balance of almost $144,000. It's $143,925.58. Paul, how did I advance this thing? What did I do? Okay. So, likewise, for Joe Griffin Media Ministries for 2012, beginning balance was almost $139,000 with deposits and credits of over $114,000, checks and payments of over $86,000, leaving an ending balance of $167,255.97. I would say we're flush. Just in general, so for Grace Doctrine Church, about 20% of the expenditures are general expenditures, 30% for building. That does not include mortgage because we don't have a mortgage. And about 50% for pastoral and ministry. For Joe Griffin Media Ministries, about 20% is general. Equipment is 30%. And media fulfillment and postage is about 50% of the expenditures. Any questions? Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mark.
That is the first time in the history of these meetings that no one had questions on the finance. So, Mark, that means a very good job. At this point, Joe has nominated men for election of deacon for this year. The Constitution says that that has to be approved by the current Board of Deacons, and it was. And now the final thing is it to be ratified and voted on by those members present at Grace Doctrine Church, and ballots are going to be submitted to all of you who are members of Grace Doctrine Church. And is it 21 or what did we put the year at? 20. I think it's 20 is the minimum age for voting. Yeah, so like they say in Cook County, vote early, vote often. While they're doing this, I had to go back and I want to reiterate some of the hilarious things I've heard in prep school over the years, and people have told me. Usually when you try to get children to conceptualize something like sin, and then you try to give an example, and when you give an example, you see little minds light up. One time I personally was teaching them about even your parents' sin, and they may have problems with just day-to-day things. And one kid said, yeah, like, my dad was real mad this morning because my mother's dress she wore, he said it looked like she slept in it. Why was she wearing it to church? So, a little too much information. Another kid says, well, my father, he gets really mad in traffic and gets upset by all those women drivers. Teaching salvation and eternal security, I thought I'd really done a good job, and then a hand shot up when I'd said, no matter what they've done or who they are, if they believe in Christ, they'll go to heaven. And a hand shot up and said, even Democrats? I guess discussions around the house, the little ears here. And then one time in prep school, I think Dana had asked, do we need to add anyone to pray for? And one little kid said, my mother's friend, we need to pray for him. And she said, oh, is he sick? Said, no, he's been shot. And she said, oh, that's terrible. Was it an accident? He said, no. They said, do they know who shot him? He said, yes, the police. So, sometimes Joe's teachings have reminded me of how, when presented with the correct information right in our face, we change our attitude and our arrogance, which reminds me of a story of a young arrogant kid who walks into a saloon back in the 1880s, and he thought he would have fun with this old prospector who was finishing up a beer. And he says, so everyone can hear him, old man, do you know how to dance? And he says, no, sonny, I never learned to dance. He says, well, I'm going to teach you. And he pulls his gun out, as you've seen in the Westerns, and starts shooting at his feet. And the old man dances, and everybody gets a good laugh. So the prospector leaves. He's going outside to pack up. And the kid loved the attention so much, he was going to go mess with him one more time. As he runs out the door of the saloon, he hears two hammers cock on a double-barrel shotgun, and the prospector's got this gun looking in his face. He said, Sonny boy, have you ever kissed a mule's behind? He said, no, sir, but I've always wanted to. And the one other thing I was going to leave you with while we're dallying with this, this is a true story. Sometimes Joe talks about how the words have to be translated correctly for us to understand what the Holy Spirit wants to say. And if you don't understand the words, you can get lost. You know, like somehow metanoeo has morphed into repent, meaning feeling sorry for your sins. And we know that's not true. Well, when I was an intern, I was in Corpus Christi, Texas, and there was a lot of Mexicans there, and they didn't speak English too well, but they spoke English a lot better than I spoke Spanish. And I get a call that this lady's in delivery, and it's she had what's called a precipitous delivery. It means it happens very fast. And so I run up there, and they've called the attending physician, but I beat him there, and they already have this lady in the delivery room, up in the stirrups, and the baby is coming. And so what we usually would do is get them to pant, hyperventilate, so it would keep them from pushing, because we didn't want her to push anymore until I had to what's called scrub and get in there. So I didn't know what to say in Spanish, so I just said, pant, pant like a dog, pant like a dog. And this lady starts barking. To picture a lady up in stirrups with a baby's head crowding and she is barking is about the funniest thing I had ever seen. I guess she figured if that dumb guy wants me to bark, I'll bark. Okay. Did anybody count these? Okay. On the first ballot, we were all approved. So at this point, it's my honor to invite Gary D. Watson back up here, and he's going to give us a missionary update. So, Gary, you're going to go from, you need up here.
Smart enough for this. Thank you, everyone, for the opportunity to present Philippi Ministries to you again this year. First, I want to thank our pastor, Joe Griffin, the Board of Deacons, and Grace Doctrine Church for all of your support over this past year, and that includes the Doritos out there. We've kept pretty busy with our kids' outings, traveling with Rick Hughes, and, of course, our primary mission, which is the prison ministry. I always enjoy my time with Rick. And last year, I had the opportunity to spend approximately 6 weeks with him. And then just last month, I spent 2 weeks with him to kick off the new year. I will continue to support Rick whenever the opportunity presents itself. So many of you have helped with so many things this past year, and I want just to let you know how much I appreciate it. I can't name you all. More than half the church has pitched in some way, some form over the last year, and that includes Doritos, with everything from prayers, encouragement, a home-cooked meal on the road, a place to stay, visiting inmates, driving me down on rainy nights so I don't have to drive down by myself, paperback books, magazines, notes. They're just more than I can name. Thank you all very much. And the Lord opened the door through several of you to get into local prisons and jails across the country. So that's been pretty amazing to see how I'll get a phone call or an email from someone that listens to Joe online and say, hey, could you contact this chaplain? Could you contact this inmate? And while I was with Rick earlier in January, he got an email while we were together, and it was an individual saying, I listen to Joe Griffin. I need somebody to contact my brother who's in prison. Would you be willing to do that? And then Rick sent the email over to me. I was in the passenger seat, and I responded on my phone to this individual and got out some information to his brother immediately. We continue with our kids program. However, we have changed it slightly for 2013. I'll just put up a few pictures of that's the horse camp in South Dakota, by the way. And that's zip lining. This young man here is one of my favorites in the world. And I was introduced to him through Grant Parsons, and he's now up in Kansas City. And he was petrified to do this zip line, but he finally did it, and it was pretty cool to watch him do it. We have our moving night each month, and we try to do something fun. I've taken a new approach, and that approach is I'm going to give each of the older kids an opportunity to plan the event that we do each month. Let them take the opportunity to be a leader, to set up the logistics, to pull together what we're going to do. All they have to do is present to me the date we're going to do it, how many kids are going to go, what do we need in the way of finances, lay out the program, and then from there I'll take care of it from there. And then we just have to show up. So we're going to put it back on them and give them a chance to be leaders. Instead of just doing everything for them, we've had several kids that have been with us for 3 or 4 years now, and it's time for them to step up and be responsible. And let's see how they respond. I know one will respond without any problem. He's not here this morning, but he's normally here, and I'm quite confident that he'll take care of his month. But we'll see how these other young men and women do on their month. We had a little bit of trouble last year with a couple of kids and their families, not with them attending our outings. One young lady attempted suicide back in December, and one young man's he found his sister dead of a heroin overdose in his bathtub. So these kids come from pretty rough backgrounds. Any prayers that you could solicit on their behalf would be greatly appreciated. They're trying, they're struggling. When you have a young lady tell you that she lays there every night and thinks about ways to kill her mother, that's pretty bad. But you got to know the side story that her mother left with her crackhead boyfriend and abandoned him for over 30 days with no food, no electricity, before she was found by her uncle and then moved in with her uncle, which turned out to be a disaster. Then she tried to kill herself, and now she's living with her grandparents. So she's 16 years old, almost 17. She'll be 17 this month. So these kids have a hard way to go. So many times they can't show up. They're not allowed to show up. But they're still there, and they're still part of the group. They still email. They still drop me notes. Hey, I want to let you know as quick as I can come back, I will be back. So please keep these young men and women in your prayers. Lastly, we did our annual horse camp in South Dakota, and that's always a special time for me. It's something I really enjoy. I've established a rapport with the kids up there, and it's always encouraging to spend time with Deb and Dan Risty. I leave there refreshed and ready to go, and they're just great people and wonderful hospitality, a professionally run horse camp, and I look forward to getting up there every year so I can just hang out, visit with them, sit around the campfire when the camp is over. So keep that horse camp in your prayers for this year as well. There's another one of our young men finished ziplining. That's our paintball. Jay Humphreys shot somebody in the back, or he got shot in the back. There was a warrant out for him. That's a young lady from our horse camp. So that's one of the activities, painting the horses. And then that's the whole crew from the horse camp. The blue are the staff shirts. The reds are the kids' shirts. There's another young lady that was on the hayride. That was demolition ball right out here in St. Charles. This young man started with our group over 4 years ago. On Tuesday, he signed a letter of intent to play linebacker for San Diego State in California, a four-year full-ride academic scholarship. So that's pretty awesome. So we have one in the Army in the 101st Airborne Division in the artillery in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, who's doing very well. He's married now, and he has a little baby. So that's pretty awesome, and they're really enjoying being parents. Then we have three or four in college that are doing exceptionally well. So it's the young men and women who've come out of here, God's, when they've applied what they've learned, they've changed their lives. Okay, this is the next one. I'm going to read just a couple letters before we get started and get into the meat of it. This was from a chaplain at a federal transfer center in Oklahoma City. He said, "I heard about your ministry and that of Grace Doctrine Church to those that are incarcerated. I understand you offer books that our inmates could study. I've reviewed a couple of them, and they look excellent." That was in all caps. "And I'd be honored if you would send me 50 copies of each if you have them available. The two titles I've been able to review were A Divine Pardon and God Exists." And that came from one chaplain. And then this came from another chaplain here in the state of Missouri. "Thanks and blessings to you and yours throughout the holiday season and in the coming new year. I'm looking forward to working with you, and the men seem truly blessed by your teaching. They were fooled. We need more of the basic books and divine pardon books. They went quick. Would you be interested in the December 30th for another morning? And then this is from another chaplain. I reviewed the Bible study notes you provide several inmates here, and I'd like to see if I could be put on the mailing list for these same notes. That was from another chaplain. Here's from another chaplain, another facility. There's a teaching seminar on June 29 and 30th of 2013, if you want it. Classes run from 8 to 3 o'clock. You can have lunch with the men, and this would be your time where you could assign small group assignments, teach, or just hang out with the inmates. Also, I wanted to see if you could teach every second and fourth Friday. On the second Friday, you will handle the prayer meeting for the entire facility. And that just recently came. Now let's get into the meat of it. This is what's encouraging. On the prison ministry side, the IRS approved our 501c3 status last March as a not-for-profit. He has continued to open doors and bless the ministry beyond anything I could ever ask or think. Numbers aren't important, but I'd just like to point out a few things I think you will find encouraging. The first slide shows the prison locations we were sending Joe's class notes to in 2010. These total a combined 20 state and federal prisons. And in 2010, we really didn't have any locations where Joe's MP3s were made available on a consistent basis. And we were only invited to teach Bible class now and then, very inconsistently. That's 2010. That's 2011. And this shows the facilities in blue that we added during the 2011 year. And this includes facilities where we provide Joe's class notes. We provide Joe Moe's book, Who Loves You? Joe's basic books, along with a few from Rick Hughes and the Colonel. We were able to set up 10 facilities in 2011 where Joe's MP3s could be listened to on an ongoing and consistent basis. The Lord started opening the doors to presenting of the gospel and basic Bible studies at more and more facilities. And in 2011, we more than doubled the number of hours that Bible class was taught from 2010 to 2011, and it laid a wonderful foundation for 2012. The next slide shows 2012. You can see 2010 in red, which was 20, 2011 in blue, which was 22 for a total of 42. The Lord opened the door to 36 new facilities in 2012, which almost doubled our total from the two prior years. So far, in the first 5 weeks of 2013, we've added four other facilities. These facilities have inmates who are receiving Joe's class notes. There are some that receive them for the whole group. I have a letter I didn't bring where an inmate said, "We look forward to your notes as quick as they arrive. Everybody meets in my cell, and we start doing Bible study." That's at a facility where they're not allowed to have any type of electronic contrivances. We are currently serving 82 facilities across the United States where inmates and chaplains follow along with Joe's study notes. Inmates now have access to Joe's MP3s at 30 jails and prisons across the United States. And the Word of God is taught weekly at some prison or jail through this ministry. And that's the way it's been the last half of last year. And it started out some places where I have 2 and 3 opportunities per week. Fortunately, they're in the evening. The Lord opened the door this year to receive training through the Missouri Department of Corrections to be a VIC. So I can go into a facility and hold a Bible class without the need of staff or a chaplain. What's exciting about that is they don't control what you do. All you have to do is set up the Bible class, show up. I swipe my card, walk in. They issue me a walkie-talkie. I walk, make my way back to wherever the Bible class is going to be held, hold the Bible class. When I'm done, I get the inmates back to their cells first, turn out the light, turn in my walkie-talkie, swipe my card, and go home. So that's been a real blessing. And they're no longer offering multi-facility passes in the state of Missouri as of January 1 of 2013. So I got mine in July, and that's the last one they're going to be giving out for any type of, quote, religious individuals to come in. You can get them at maybe one facility, but they're not going to give out multi-institutional anymore. They want that to go to the psychiatrist and the psychologist, which I don't understand when you look at the next section we have. Currently, we have 132 inmates that are receiving Joe's class notes. These go out every couple weeks, but not everybody is caught up with us. We start everybody at the beginning. So I have about 60 who are right even with us. Then I have the other 70-plus who are somewhere in the middle of that. So every 2 weeks, I have to go through and sort out who's where, who gets what set of notes to make sure they get the proper notes. And you'll see in a letter in here that I brought along to read, they're not very happy when a package gets lost or the guards throw it away. They want to know why they got skipped these set of notes because they can't study the ones they received because they don't have the ones they're missing. So they write and let you know, get me these notes. What are you doing? How could you bypass that? So they call you on it. They're pretty good about that. The letters they write, when I got back from being with Rick for those 15 days, I had 35 letters at the P.O. box waiting to be answered, wanting to know why they hadn't gotten notes in a couple weeks. And you would be surprised at the letters. Most of them are just great, and it's real encouraging, as we'll see again in a minute. But there's a lot of them. I've been told everything that you can think of. And I have been asked everything you can think of. It's not... Some of these letters, I don't know where they come up with this stuff. I really don't. But and I'm going to stop putting the dates on my schedule in the bulletin because of security requirements, because inmates find a way to use you. And one of the things they don't want to do, we'll put where we're going, but we're not going to put what date we're going as a safety for myself and my family. Currently, 132 inmates. We've sent out roughly 1,500 of Joe Griffin's books this year and 1,500 of Joe Moe's book. For those of you who don't know, that's a Who Loves You book. And 100-plus book of Rick's and the Colonel's. 800 of Divine Pardon this year. And you say, boy, that's a lot of book. We must be attacking them. Well, there's 2.5 million people in prison. So 1,500 is not much. Tip of the iceberg. And there's 7.2 million individuals in the United States today either in jail, prison, on probation or parole. 7.2 million. One out of every 100 Americans have either been in jail or are going to jail or serving time right now. Over the last 3 years, we've had 120 inmates return home through parole or completion of their sentences. And as of today, we've had zero recidivism. Okay? We do have a couple on the edge. Full disclosure. Two are close. Won't be long. That's my opinion. But this zero percentage is compared to 65% national average in 3 years or less. In 3 years or less, 65% of all people released from prison go back. 65. We've had none so far in almost 4 years. Not that we had any doubt, but I think that proves doctrine conquers all. We've been working with the Federal Bureau of Prisons to make Joe's Bible classes available to everyone incarcerated. A year or so ago, maybe a little longer, the Federal Bureau of Prisons started making iPods available to inmates through the commissary. If someone puts money in their account, or if someone has a prison job and they have enough in there, they can buy these iPods through their commissary. And then there's a list of approved songs, gospel, rock, country, rap, but they're all approved. The inmates can check what they want, buy that music, submit their iPod along with their commissary list, have the music downloaded, and they get it returned. So what the heck? We need to get Joe's music in there. Our music. Joe, you can't sing, I don't think. But no, get Joe's doctrinal Bible studies in there. A chaplain said, you ought to approach the Federal Bureau of Prisons. So we have. It's been almost a year now. It's been about 9 months, and we're on step number 8 of 10 steps. The hardest part was getting them to make it available free. No one else had approached them about making Bible studies available. No one. So now we're 2 steps away from having Joe's Bible studies made available free of charge to over 200,000 federal inmates. All they have to do is check off the Bible class. There will be a limit, so they just can't download a bunch. Submit them with their commissary list when they go every other week. They download those Bible studies. They have a week and a half or so to listen to it. Then they can go back and download more. Please keep that in your prayers. That would be unbelievable to have this available. And any inmate then who can afford an iPod would be able to have Joe's Bible studies made available to them. And that would be just something fantastic. So that's the big project on. At Bible classes, a lot of people ask, what do you do? Well, we always give the gospel and I mix it in two or three times throughout the Bible study. Those of you that have been with me, and many of you have, if you'd like to go, just let me know. We always give it two or three times. Most facilities give about an hour and 20 minutes to teach the word, and I take every last minute of it. Otherwise, they won't have an invitation or something. So I take them right up to time for them to leave to get back to be counted. Always, there's a little singing ahead of time. You get a lot of amens. You get a lot of bring it, brother, during the Bible classes. But we have unbelievable manners by these individuals. A lot of poise and grace. They don't move around. They don't run around. They don't disrupt your class. You'll have 30 to 50 guys sitting there, 60 sometimes, and they just sit still, pay attention. You will get the occasional amen. Some places you get the frequent amen. But I guess I just can't put in the words. Most people say, boy, it must be a chore. These guys are running around. I have been in places where they're disruptive and they talk and you have to call them down. But that's the exception, not the rule. The rule is they have the manners that we have here at Grace Doctrine Church. It's really unbelievable. An hour and 20 minutes and they don't move, leave the room. That's pretty good. And you say, well, they can't leave. They're in jail. Sure, they can go to the restroom. They could really, it's just me. They could really get up and go talk to each other. You know, it'd be a big disruption. I'd have to get on the walkie-talkie, call a guard. They'd have to come down and haul them out. How do you pick up and move on from there? It's amazing how God prepares the hearts and minds of these men before you get there and takes care of all the distractions, including the religious opposition. And there is plenty of that in our prisons today. Plenty of it. We always make sure we talk about eternal security, and I generally do that through the top circle and hammer that home, because that's the biggest issue in prison. How can I be a believer? How can I be a Christian? How can God love me? Because look what I've done. And I remind him, your sin's no different than our sins, other than your sin put you here. That's it. If you don't believe me, go look at Proverbs 7. Only one of those is an overt sin. So I hit it home on eternal security, and we really hammer home rebound so they can have an effective spiritual life. These three items cover every time, no matter what happens. Here's some, this is a drawing I received from an inmate just to tell me what he'd been learning. And it says, as it stands, my flat line is in full force. The 3rd Battalion, the Faith Rest Drill, is being used the most. And you could see he drew me that and sent that in the mail. Another inmate sent me this one and sent that in the mail to me. And then I get drawings also. This is a prodigal son that he drew and sent to me. He heard me teach something on a prodigal son, then he drew it out for me and mailed it to me. Another letter said, hello, brother. My name is Travis Danfield, and I'm incarcerated in St. Charles County Jail. And when you came here and taught us Bible class, you really helped to encourage me to continue to seek God's will for my life. You have a great message, and your ability to connect with inmates is awesome. And I want you to know that you are making a difference in a lot of people's life. And then another one, and these are the type we get that opens it up to a lot of families who are Doritos. Hi, this is Doyle. I won't say his last name. I attended your service at Pacific, and I was wondering if I could start your Bible study notes. And I would love for my daughter to receive those children's study books that you mentioned at the Bible class. My wife is waiting for them. If you could send those to her, they will get started on them immediately. Now, through the years, we've had many inmates have us send materials to fathers, mothers, wives. There's one wife, for instance, down in Texas who takes our books and takes them to the retirement center she works at and leaves them all around there. And she found out about it through her husband, who's incarcerated. So that led to the daughter telling her mother and father about it. And I received a letter from the husband saying, please send these over to my mother and father-in-law. They want to get the information and send them the website so they can listen. So it's very frequent we get this kind of information from the inmates. Hope you're well. Here's a quick note to share with you the latest thing I've learned. I was able today to watch the 50th anniversary DVD as pastor of Baraka Church, Colonel Thiem, was able to see Pastor Griffin speak. It was wonderful. Maybe one day I will be able to meet Pastor Griffin. We'll just do a couple more. You could go on and on. I mean, the list is just endless. I just want to thank you for the Bible studies that you're sending me and for the promise book that you just sent. Thank you for all that you're doing, sharing the love of Christ through your ministry. And, guys, I'll just keep hanging these up on the board. We could keep you all day long reading these. I do want to send you one last one. I read you Bernard Davis's letter last year. I continue to hear from Bernard every 2 weeks. Without fail, I got a letter this week, so it was perfect timing. He said, God is good all the time, and I will write Brother Rick Hughes soon. That's how he found out about our ministry. He heard Rick Hughes on the radio. He's located in a federal prison in Arizona. Rick's on the radio in that town. So he wrote Rick. Rick sent him to me. And for almost 4 years now, he's been studying along with Grace Doctrine Church. And he writes every 2 weeks faithfully. I just wanted to write you and thank you for all that you do for us. I got in touch with my son for the first time in 40 years. It was wonderful. And he is well. Thank you, Jesus. I told you growing up was not easy for me to be a father. I drank too much, partied too much, had too much sex, and I was moving way too fast. Today I'm focused on the study of the Word of God, and all my sons and daughters and grandkids are doing great. I love the new me, 1 John 1:9, and I'm not looking back. I know there is a God, and I'm a witness and a testimony to that in this institution. Also, thank you for my new Bible. Thank everyone at Grace Doctrine Church for their kindness and support. Your brother and friend, Bernard Davis. I solicit your prayers this coming year for guidance, logistics, open doors, stamina. If you want to contact us, write us, call us. Oh, that's the schedule. That's my upcoming schedule for the next 6 weeks right there. The first one will be an hour and a half. The second one's an hour. St. Charles is an hour. Potosi's an hour and 20 minutes. Because I'm coming so far to Kansas, they're going to give me 2 hours. And then Missouri Eastern Correctional Center is an hour and a half. Madison County, that's going to be 4 days. And then St. Charles, again, is just an hour. It's on there twice. There's how you can contact us. We've got a newsletter I'm close to having ready to go out. I was going to show you a picture of it, just hold it up for you. It'll be full color and all that kind of stuff, 3 pages. It'll be out this week, and then we'll make it available if Joe says it's okay here at church. And we'll also mail some out to those that we have addresses that have asked to be included in a mailing list. Lastly, I'm very, very grateful to be associated with Pastor Griffin. You have no idea what it's like to go out, be gone, teaching these individuals, and then come back and need your soul refreshed, and to be able to be at Bible class, and to have Joe get up there and teach and do it right. The men that come along with me realize Joe does not have the boring Bible classes. I take care of driving them back to Joe if there's any questions. I just can't tell you how much, Joe, I appreciate your teaching and your faithfulness to the study of the Word and the great example you've set for all of us. And without it, I don't know what I'd do, but with it, every time I leave Bible class, I'm ready to go recharged to get back out there and to teach these inmates where the Lord has opened the doors. Thank you all very much for your kindness and your grace. Thanks.
Gary, good job. I love that picture of the prodigal son. Anybody notice those three pigs? Two of them were mad at him, and one of them had their eyes like, okay, what are you going to do? I'm sure he did that on purpose. I've been with Gary to Potosi. What he says is true. Those guys are riveted, but they're so excited to learn what they learned, and their background probably is different than some of ours. And they tend to let their feelings come out. It's in them, and it's got to come out. And but they know their doctrine. Like when I was there, Gary said, is there any way you can lose your salvation? And I don't know how many, but a lot of them would go, no, out loud like that. He said, what think you of Christ? Jesus is the road to salvation. And one of them said, I know that's right. And then another one says, that's it. That's it, brother. And it really is appropriate, though. You know what I mean? If you're sitting there and you listen and you're looking at these guys, what they're doing makes perfect sense because they're excited. They have never had anything like this before. And I'm sure in our minds, a lot of us have done almost the same thing, sitting around a recorder when we first got interested in doctrine and jump up and down and say, dang, why didn't anybody tell me this before? So thanks, Gary. All right. Now we're ready for the media ministry update by Joe. And so I'll give him the floor.
The floor. I have the floor. Well, somewhere in all of this are my notes. Oh. I thought I was going to have to ad-lib this thing. Well, I will rush through this, but I'll tell you that I wanted to do this last year, but did not. But Media Ministries is now about 6-7 years old, and we're operating on a skeleton crew. And I think that you need to know what the skeleton crew is doing. So please bear with me for a few minutes as I make obvious to you people what's going on as far as Media Ministries is concerned. The ministry was formed in 2005 as a nonprofit 501c3 corporation. It was underwritten by Grace Doctrine Church. We had seed money of $100,000 from the church. We've systematically tried to pay that back in money as well as taking over the expense of the equipment that's involved. The rationale, which was brought to my attention by Theme Bible Ministries, is you need to find out whether God's supporting your ministry. And you can't do that if you're constantly having the church pay for its operating expenses. So the test was to see if God supported our media operation. I think the financial report you saw earlier indicates that maybe so. Now, as you can observe by the financial reports for both ministries, we find out that we are in pretty good financial condition in each area. And so we should all be grateful to the Lord for His support. It's been accomplished by complete free will contributions of individuals, both local and remote. So it's been grace all the way. I'd like to briefly give you some idea of what Media Ministries accomplishes on an ongoing basis. First of all, we'll take a look at the websites. Grace Doctrine Church is on the web at www.gdconline.org and Media Ministries, www.joegriffin.org. They both have similar content, but the media streams are on the Media Ministry site. The information that is on the sites include approximately 3,500 lessons and streaming audio, plus the notes for each lesson and visuals that were used in each. We do not count hits on the servers over the course of a 7-day week, but I understand from a cursory test a few years ago that it was in the hundreds. We do know that the average number of Doritos that log on midweek, that would be Wednesday and Thursday, around 90 on average. This morning's first session had 120 hits. We conservatively estimate that each hit averages about two viewers and or listeners. I am aware of a few groups that actually meet at central locations. For example, believers in St. Augustine, Florida, meet at Don Robinson's house, and they total somewhere in the mid-20s every Sunday. So we can estimate around 200 to 300 people log on Sunday mornings, and that's conservative. Doritos who have contacted me through email and otherwise are stretched out all over this country. I'll just mention a few of the states from which I have received communications: Washington, California, Texas, Iowa, South Dakota, Michigan, Maine, Virginia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, and of course, Illinois and various cities in Missouri. This is not a complete list, but it gives you some idea that we're stretched from coast to coast and from the border to the Gulf. I request, by the way, that any Doritos that are viewing this morning, if you would send an email to info@joegriffin.org, tell us your city and state and how many people view from your location, from your computer. It would give us a broader understanding of our outreach. Of course, we don't need names. That's not what we're after. The primary purpose of the websites is to present live Bible classes and an inventory of recorded classes to anyone who's interested in studying the Word of God. Each month, Dana, who heads up our media fulfillment, mails out two sets of MP3s. There's a group that she has categorized as subscribers. These are those who want the MP3s of the previous month's lessons, and she has around 200 subscribers to that. And then there are those that send in special orders, say they want something from Clanking Chains or one of our specials of some kind, say Shreveport. And those also total in the around 200 range each month. Meter Ministries also has several titles that have been published over the last several years. A revised edition of Joe Hunt's Who Loves You was released in 2010. It contains the eulogy that was presented at his memorial service in the revised edition. The four basic books are each in their second printings and were released also in the year 2010. In 2012, 40 Proclamations, the Theology of Grace Doctrine Church was released. It also contains the church's constitution and American state papers. John Smith, who is our chief editor in-house, is closing in on completing his edit of the next publication. John, by the way, has done a tremendous job on this. I think he's been working on it for about 3 years, interspersed with two heart surgeries. So kudos go to John for his endurance and his devotion to the project. We've titled this book One Day at a Time. It will contain about 200 pages. It is an overview of the central doctrines that we feel are important to the reader and to those who need to be introduced to more advanced approaches to the basic books that were released a few years ago. We hope to publish this title in the near future. John indicates to me he's almost through with his edit, and then we have to get the front and back matter done and then off to a publisher. Finally, I send out class notes to what is called the Google group. Some of you subscribe to that. As I complete a 10-page document, I send it out to the subscribers of this group. This started back, and I remember I used to give Danny Hunt a copy ahead of time because he was cataloging things for us. And then Joe found out about it, and he said he wanted a copy. And then Tim came by, and he wanted one. And then before I knew it, I was handing out 11 of these and emailing them. That got to be a problem, reasons I won't go into now, but people thought that we were sending out spam. So Paul and others decided we would join a Google group. That means you manage your subscription. If you get tired of it and don't want to have this anymore, you desubscribe. So we don't know who subscribes or who desubscribes. That's up to the subscriber. But we started with 11, and today we have over 550 people who receive these class notes. Whenever you receive them, that means that 549 other people did as well. So it's pretty broad distribution of class notes. All of these things accomplished by skeleton crew. The websites manage live video and audio feeds. They retain audio streams of every class, plus associated class notes and visuals. A wonderful addition to the websites was added in 2012. You can now search lesson notes with a search device that is at the top of every page. This feature was developed by Mike Weber and Matt Lawson. They labored over a long period of time because they have jobs that they have to go to. And developing a search engine is not an easy project, but it has been done. It is available, and it's quite a wonderful addition to our websites. The web servers are potentially a temperamental set of gizmos that must be constantly monitored. Paul Davey is the original brainchild behind having a website at all. And he and Mike Weber are the two men who keep it up and running, and we tip our hats to their efforts to keep everything online. These two men have jobs. They're very important jobs. They both are involved, in, especially Paul, in civilian support for our military. So he is out of town quite often. Mike Weber, of course, is a fellow who has a number of things to do, having four children, as well as a very time-demanding job. So the point I'm making is we have two guys who have very little time, but they keep the websites up and running, and so I tip my hat to them. Virtually every Bible class, Dennis Norris is in the booth taking care of house audio and managing the audio recordings of the day's Bible class. And I can tell you that Dennis is as consistent as the sunrise, and we would be hard-pressed were we to lose his talents back in the booth, though. Tip my hat to Dennis. Media distribution is handled by Dana and her volunteers. She has kept up with our library and archives for over 20 years and has developed a very praiseworthy system of distributing our print and audio media to those who request them. Dana's assistants include Diane McKay, Rose Jeffries, Kim Menninger, and Jennifer Perry. Our bulletins are produced by Cindy Rawlins in Virginia. She sends the finished product to Dana, who runs them off, distributes them at church, and mails them out to take orders. Cindy is also responsible for the very handsome cover design of the book 40 Proclamations. Those who have helped proofread manuscripts include Melody Bautista, Susan Smith, Janine Vesser, and especially Andre Couch, the chief editor for RB Theme Junior Bible Ministries. Transcribers of class notes that are designed to go into books eventually include Lucia Kuiper, Sharon Fern, Melinda Klein, Judy Kruger, Francis Simmons, Tom Teeters, and Gary Watson. Finally, I would like to salute members of the Media Ministries Board of Directors. This is for the year 2012. Martin Vesser, the treasurer of Media Ministries, Casey Hunt, secretary, Paul Davey, director of Web Media, and Dana Schott, Director of Media Fulfillment. Each of the names I've cited this morning has contributed in some way to the success Media Ministries has enjoyed over the past year. I extend my gratitude to each and to all. I'm also humbled by the phenomenal financial support that the Lord has provided through the grace giving of local members and Doritos worldwide. One final note that Dana has given to me is that if we were to outsource the production of MP3s to some local company and have them do all of that work and mail them out, it would cost an additional $7,680 a year in order to accomplish that. So, in essence, she and her organization are saving the ministries over $8,000 a year. One final note that I will make regarding Grace Doctrine Church. I don't know how many years that Gary has been advising me on prisoners that he has vetted and determined that they are positive volition to the Word of God and desire to grow in grace and deserve a Bible. And I don't know the number, Gary, but I think it's well over 100. They get. I send them a bonded leather Scofield reference Bible on Gary's advice. We send that through Amazon, and the bonded leather Bible runs the church somewhere between $35 and $40. Those numbers vary. So we have about 160 some odd fellows out there now with Scofield Bibles that can supplement their study of the Word of God. I thank you for your time. I'm very pleased with the progress of Media Ministries, but I'm very pleased with those people who contribute their time, talents, and efforts to keeping things up and running and moving forward. Are you done?
None of them get Sheffield Bibles?
No Sheffields yet.
Okay. Gary, did you steal my notes too?
I'm sorry, I shuffled them all.
Here we are. At this point, I open up the meeting to the floor for any questions that are pertinent.
I want to know when we get to go home.
Yeah, I can read their mind. Is there any other new business? If there's no new business, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. We sit here. Looks on that. Is there a second? All right. Any discussion about that? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Okay, Joe, would you close in prayer, unless you have any other comments? We have pastor's comments next.
Oh, really? I'll address my comments to the Lord.
All right, then. I know that.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to review Grace Doctrine Church and Media Ministries 2012 year. Your grace has been exceedingly abundant beyond all our possible wishes and dreams. We thank you for your grace, but most of all, we thank you for your immutable word that you provide for us, enabling us to move forward, seeking to become promacoi, front rankers in the invisible war where we can be good soldiers for Christ. Motivate and encourage us by these things. And we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Dismissed.
Thank you.